Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Experience the unconventional.
Hello.
The unpredictable.
Don't you think that's a bit weird?
And the completely unorthodox.
It was my birthday.
With rule-free Ian Lee.
I was just trying to generate a bit of content.
The late night alternative with Ian Lee.
Hate alarm clock. Hate going to work.
On Talk Radio.
Just one. The late night alternative, Ian Lee, Catherine Boyle, a weird one tonight, dear listener. Not only is it Friday the 13th, it is a full moon. On the show that does not do Brexit, we're going to take calls straight to air. But hold your horses, because we've got a really special guest on first that we've been excited about for a little while. Isn't that just one of the greatest pop songs of old? It was pop. I don't know what it is. It's a weird song, but I love that.
There's something really theatrical about it, yeah. But you can't deny that it's a foot tapper. It's brilliant.
Slightly different version to the one that we normally play. We use it as an unofficial theme to the show. Matt Munro, We're Gonna Change the World. That version was from, geez, man, I remember when this album came out, because I saw it, I think, on Pebble Mill at 25 years ago. It's Matt Munro singing with his son, Matt Munro Jr., using computer technology, because obviously Matt Munro had passed away. And boy, oh boy, I'm thrilled to say, ladies and gentlemen, on the line, it's Matt Munro Jr. Good evening, Matt.
Good evening, guys. How are you?
It's you, mate. I'm over the moon. How are you doing, fella?
I'm over the moon, because the only reason I'm doing this show is because people thought I died. I just want to prove I'm alive.
Well, don't die during this interview, Matt. That would look awful for all of us. Listen, that was lovely. When did you do that duets album with Dad?
That would have been around 88, 89. Oh,
was it that far ago?
I think so.
Oh, flipping heck. And I do remember you coming on something like Pebble Mill at 1, and I was like, well, I would have been about 15 then. I was thinking, well, now this is odd, because obviously I was aware of Matt Munro. I was a big fan of kind of the crooners growing up. I was thinking, well, this is odd. So this guy's son has done an album singing along with his dead dad's hits, but it works. It works really, really well. How did you come about? How did that come about, doing that?
Well, the show was right, by the way. It was Pebble Mill, and it was with Gloria Hannaford.
There you go. I remembered.
And what was weird about that was they had a mix-up the way they were filming it, and I actually had to sing the whole song live and then edit me out.
No.
Which... I can't tell you how many words are in that song to remember. We got through it anyway. But the reason I did the album, Dad was still very raw when I recorded this album, the whole thing of it. And I wanted something that no one could ever take away from me. And that was to record with Matt Munro, which not many people could say they'd done. And I purposely stayed away from the hits. Yeah. I didn't want to do the Portraits and the Softleys and everything else. And that's what we came up with. To be totally truthful, I wasn't the most competent of singers back then. But it was something, as I said, I wanted to do for myself. And thankfully, EMI decided they wanted to take it up on it.
When remind me, what I know it was the early 80s. What year did Dad pass?
85.
Oh, OK, so if this was 88 then, this was still very fresh. That must have been a very surreal experience to be in the studio with him, yeah. So to speak.
I mean, I could get... I mean, it could be a couple of years out, to be totally truthful. And I mean, I did Opportunity Knocks in 87.
Right.
So, roughly speaking, I think it's around then.
Yeah.
It was a really strange experience because when we're in the studios, of course, we're listening to the recordings of Dad, in the studios. And, of course, I'm so used to hearing Dad's voice, singing voice, whether it's on the radio or on the record or what have you. But in between takes, you'd hear Dad saying, "One more take, son, and let's break for a cup of tea," and stuff like that. And it was very emotional, very emotional. But yeah, I'm very proud of it.
Yeah, no, and you do yourself a disservice. I mean, saying you weren't such a good singer then. It's a cracking album. But also, you're going up against Matt Monro, who, you know, everybody is going... But am I right? Frank Sinatra said Matt was his favourite singer.
Yeah, Sinatra rated him as one of the three greatest singers in the world.
Wow.
Which is one hell of an accolade.
And wow.
Someone said to me that Sinatra once said that Matt Monro was the British Sinatra. Well, I'd like to think that Sinatra was the American Matt Monro.
Well played. What was it like growing up with him? Obviously, to you, I guess he was just Dad, and then sometimes you turn on the telly and he was there, or he was on the radio, but... I'm guessing it was just like having a dad who has a job.
I had no idea who my dad was until we did This Is Your Life when
really?
I was 13 years old.
Yeah.
I knew my dad was on TV. I knew he was a singer. But I didn't know any other job. And growing up at school, my friends didn't think anything particular of my dad. And my dad could have been an accountant. To me, he was just did a normal job. But he was Dad, and... he was very homely. He lived for show business and lived for being on stage. But his family were everything. And it was only... I couldn't work out, as I grew older, that everyone seemed to know who my dad was, but I didn't know who their dads were.
Right.
So it became quite strange.
And did he bring people... I mean, I've got visions of Sammy Davis Jr. popping around for a cup of tea and stuff. Did any of that happen?
Yeah, but not so much Sammy. I mean... They were best friends, Sammy and my dad.
Wow.
And I'll tell you a lovely story about Sammy. When he flew over for Dad's This Is Your Life, they recorded it in front of a live audience. And when they stopped recording, my dad and Sammy, literally my dad's musical director, did 45 minutes just off the cuff to the audience. It was the most amazing thing I'd ever seen. But, yeah, Dad's friends who came to the house were people like Dave Allen, Sidney James, Morecambe and Wise, those sort of people. They were great, great friends, all of those people.
Matt, in that 45-second answer, you've just thrown so much at me. I have to go back. Imagine being in the audience and This Is Your Life. A thrill anyway, always a bit of a gamble, with respect, because sometimes you get an old soldier. Respect to the old soldiers, but you want an entertainer. But then to get a free... Monro Davis Jr. improvised 45-minute gig. That's just amazing.
And just on piano. Dad's musical director on piano.
Yeah.
And it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I mean, Sammy was my idol, believe it or not, not my dad, because my dad was just my dad.
Yeah, of course.
But Sammy was my idol. So, yes, I was used to seeing him and stuff, but I was still in awe of him in many ways. And the time that finished and the time they got back to the green room, I suppose it was about 8:30 at night, and Dad had to appear at the Talk of the Town that night at 11 o'clock.
Yeah.
So he still had to do a full show as well on top of that.
Yeah.
It was just amazing. It really was the whole
thing. Well, it's that old school work ethic of you, the show must go on is the cliche, but it's true. And I've done 2 hours recording This Is Your Life and a bit with Sammy. Still got to go and do a couple of hours at the Talk of the Town tonight. And I bet the audience there would have been none the wiser what he'd been doing previously.
No, because Dad didn't mention it on stage to them, and you talk about show business. God bless him. His brother had a heart attack in the wings before Dad went out. Thankfully, he got through that. But I mean, this is what people don't understand about people in show business. Dad still had to go out and do the show.
Yeah.
You know, that's what you do. That's your job.
So were you singing when Dad was around, or did that come after he passed?
Never sung in my life until one occasion back in 1977, just before This Is Your Life, funny enough. My dad was appearing at the Windmill Theatre in Great Yarmouth in summer season. And on the final night, as people were taking their bows, the cast, and my dad would come out and thank the audience for the wonderful summer, Dad, completely unbeknown to me, dragged me up on the stage to sing a song with him, which I'd never done. I was completely in awe. Plus, my voice was breaking as well, which didn't exactly help. And I sang live. We did Yesterday, which was a hit for the Beatles, but it was my dad's one of my dad's biggest hits in this country.
Yeah.
And we did a duet of that, and it was, yeah, I always say on stage now, it was one of the greatest experiences of my life.
Was that the moment? You often hear, you know, comedians talking about being in the school play and they get a laugh on a line and something just clicks and they go, oh, right, that's what it feels like. Yes, I want to do this forever. Was that a significant moment, do you think, in your career?
No.
Oh, okay, there you go. It was just a nice thing.
I never wanted to be a singer. When I left school, I became a banker. I worked for the National Westminster Bank for about 3 or 4 years.
And wow.
I only did it because my dad wanted me to get a backbone in life in case golf didn't work out.
Right.
And I gave up golf literally when Dad died. I came back from Florida because that's where I was living.
Yeah.
And I decided then that, you know, I couldn't go back to golf because Dad was such a large part of my golf life. Because he was such a rubbish golfer, but that was where the father-son great relationship happened, you know. And I never did it. And then I just literally started doing some after-dinner speaking about cancer research. Mm. And some idiot said, will you sing a song? And I said, well, I can't really sing. And he said, well, give us a few bars. And before I knew it, I was doing a song, and then that became 3 songs, and then 5. And before I knew it, it was an opportunity knocks. And that's how it started.
Who was hosting Opportunity Knocks at that point?
My Uncle Bob. Bob Monkhouse.
Okay. So I'm assuming he was obviously a family friend as well then, was he?
Oh, very, very close. And then we did Opportunity Knocks, and I actually went on tour with Bob for a little while. And again, that was a real big wake-up call because I knew him to sit on his lap as a kid and, yeah. You know, my Uncle Bob and blah, blah, blah. And yet, when I was his support act, when he did his tour, he'd walk into a theatre, completely blank me, for want of a better word, because he was preparing for a show. And then afterwards, he sit me down and said, that's what you do. If you want to, you know, be successful in this business, this is not about partying or talking to people. This is about being prepared to perform at your best. And I learned a great lesson.
Well, I mean, you're right. To learn from the masters, you know, the some of the greats from British entertainment is amazing. But you did it. You did it for a long time. We had some when we said that we had you coming on the show. We had a few people tweeting us with pictures of you and them backstage from about two or three years ago. But have you retired now?
I retired last year. I did my final year. Because I didn't realise I've done 31 years in show business.
Wow!
You must be very tired. I'm knackered. I'd finished, and I always said I was never going to do what these acts do: another farewell tour and another farewell tour.
Yeah.
And I did 46 shows in 54 days. I mean, it was a big tour. And then someone told me that, and I didn't realise that. My dad next year will be 90, if he had still been around, and it will be 60 years from his first ever hit, Portrait of My Love.
Mm.
So I've been forced to go back and do one more tour. So forced is too strong a word, but I've signed the contract to, we start on September the, 1 year today. We start 1 year today.
You make it sound like Sinatra was involved. I was forced to go back on tour. They made me do one last show. So hang on, you're doing it a year from now. It's booked that far in advance, is it?
Yeah, we've booked the whole tour. That's already done.
So do you know what the show is? And where you're playing? Is that all sorted yet, or does that come closer?
Yeah, no. My opening night is at the Dartford Orchard on 1 year today.
Wow.
And we finish at, I think, the end of October or something like that. We're only doing 28 shows.
Only. You lightweight, Matt. Only 28. Come on, man. Brilliant.
An offer from Australia to go back out there. but this will 150% be my last. I promise you, I've just moved up with my wife. We've just moved from London. We moved to Scotland last week. And this is effectively to semi-retire. It's to have a, you know, you never know. No one knows in life how long you're going to be around. And enjoying my life.
Exactly. And I knew that you moved to Scotland. You just moved up last week, did you?
Last Monday.
Oh, well, thank you for talking to us, mate, because me and Catherine know how nuts it is when you move house and to give us some of your time. I'm glad you said that because we were so... honestly, we play Gonna Change the World as the unofficial theme tune. We've got about three or four unofficial theme tunes and that's the one we play a lot. And I grew up listening to kind of Neil Diamond and Dr. Hook and Matt Munro and Dean Martin and, you know, those kind of singers. Sure. So I was thrilled that you were going to come on the show, but I was so gutted when I read that you'd stopped touring. But me and Catherine, if you don't mind, we're going to come along and see you next year, Matt.
You come along as my guest, my friend, and you come backstage.
Beautiful, beautiful. We'll do that. And I tell you what, if we're still on the air this time next year, who knows? Who knows? We'll get you in a little bit closer to the dates as well and give it a good old plug.
Well, if I'm alive, I'll be happy to do it for you.
Fantastic. Go on.
And I'll tell you something very quickly. As you mentioned,
mate,
it's not about Brexit tonight and everything else.
Yeah.
Change the World was a change of direction for my dad. It was a protest song.
Yeah.
It was a protest song, and it never became a hit, but it became a turntable hit by the DJs up and down the country, and it became a massive, massive song for dad.
I love it, right? And we deconstructed it about a month ago. We went through it line by line on air because me and Catherine were arguing about what it meant, and I love it so, so much. I've loved it for years. Mm-hmm. And it does feel like, you know, Matt Munro and Frank Sinatra sitting around going, hey, this kid Dylan's doing something with these protest songs. We should get groovy and cut one of those. But it's such a great song. But also what's unusual for your dad is that it's so up-tempo and so not just the subject matter, but the whole sound and the... obviously, we know him for these lush, wonderful, lush ballads, but this kind of up-tempo dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum-dum beat is... He didn't do any other songs like that, did he?
No. He did an upbeat version of Mary Boy's Child.
Right.
He didn't like particularly religious Christmas songs, but that's what he did.
Yeah.
But no, I mean... You've got to remember, Dad made it in the era. Of course, there was Sinatra and all of those around, but there was also people like Elvis Presley, and the Beatles. So it was very difficult for a crooner to stay around. So he was always looking to which direction to go when he came up with that.
Matt, listen, we love your dad on this show, and I've got to say, we love you as well. And it's so nice to talk to you. Nearer the time, get in touch. You've got Kath. You and Matt have got details and things, haven't you?
I know someone who knows something.
Right.
It worked out beautifully. We were talking about you and seeing how we could get hold of you, and I was drawing a blank. But someone was listening who worked with you, who put me in touch with someone who still works with you. And here you are. It's just brilliant when it works out that way.
She's my PR lady.
She's brilliant.
Well, listen, Matt, we'll make sure you stay in touch, mate. And the nearer the dates, we'll get you on. And me and Kath would love to come along and see one of the shows one night.
Listen, it'll be a real pleasure because the show, but just so you know, is my dad's life story on video screen. It's incredibly emotional.
I was about to say, even, I mean, gosh, what are we, 45 years later? Where is... No, 35. I mean, let's take a decade off that. It's still a long time. 35 years later. That must be, what's the word? Hard, awkward, emotional? I don't know. To be stood there with videos of your dad behind you and talking about him. That's got to be an exhausting, emotionally thing to do.
Well, yeah, because, I mean, the show it's narrated. I have a lady who narrates the show.
Yeah.
Who also sings a couple of duets with me in the show as well as sing on her own. And I sing and I talk about Dad and do funny stories and everything else. But, of course, it's... Listen, I could have done this show 30 years ago and made a fortune, for want of a better word.
Yeah.
I purposely didn't do it because I've never been in this business to exploit my dad. It's all about my love for my dad, and I'm so proud that he is my dad. And when I put this show together, I thought, well, I'm going to retire. This is the time to do it. Mm. And this will be our fourth year doing it. And the audiences have loved it.
Mm.
I mean, seriously loved it. They said it's the most tender life story they've ever heard of anybody's life. And yes, it's emotional, but I sing with Dad again in the show. And,
beautiful.
I'm back with my dad where it all began in 1977.
Matt, we are a little bit older than 13 this time. I mean, you know, not make too much about it, but time marches on. Matt, so nice to talk to you, mate. Thank you so much. Thank you for sharing the memories of your dad. Thanks for letting us know about your career. And I look forward to speaking to you and meeting you next year, mate. Thank you.
Ian, Catherine, thanks for having us on your show, and I am alive.
There we go. Matt Runro Jr. is alive. It's official and exclusive. What a nice man. I mean, yeah. what did we expect? Some hard-nosed. So, what a nice man. And, that's great. We're going to go and see the show next year. Thank you, Matt. I loved it. Absolutely loved it. Lots of love to you and your family. Right, we're going to take calls straight to air in a second. This is the Late Night Alternative on Talk Radio.
We are Talk Radio.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.